This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back into The Hole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining me now, the Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. Kevin was over, was it today or yesterday, Kevin? My days are weird. Checking out some CSU hoops yesterday, and some friendly faces were on campus, so that was kind of cool to see all those videos.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool to see quite a cast of players. Got Nick Clifford, Isaiah Stevens, Joel Scott, J.D. Page, Jalen Lake, Josiah Strong, Nico Carbacho's there. He wasn't laced up, but he was there. And they've had others too. Roddy has come in the past. Tanjay has come. They both, Tanjay had a international basketball commitment. Roddy, I guess, had a wedding, so they couldn't make it. But yeah, it's quite a cast of former Rams.
Yeah, I mean, in the list you just named there too, it's every single year, it just seems like, you know, we're adding to that. So we're getting close to football season, which means we're getting close to basketball season too. And you know, among those names that might one day kind of fit into that list, Kevin, maybe Kyle Jorgensen type of guy. Maybe he's going to go down as one of the really, really good basketball players for Colorado State. Big year coming up for him, no question.
Yeah, definitely, he's got a chance. He's obviously made a big leap last year from his freshman to sophomore year. And then, you know, I think CSU's hoping it's a, you know, similar leap, maybe not in like percent overall of like point growth, but overall player development. I think there's big hopes for him going into next season and what that can bring. And, you know, he was one of the guys that they had to work to make sure to keep on campus as opposed to transferring out. And they did. And he even said yesterday, Kyle Jorgensen did, that part of why he stayed is sort of the, you know, what he called the family atmosphere of all these guys who come back, because it's pretty new for CSU that this is a thing.
Kevin Lytle joining us, Fort Collins, Colorado. And listen, I am interested in this basketball team. I love talking hoops with you. But as we're approaching the month of August, Kevin, and I've been reading a lot of your football stuff too, helping me make sense of this somewhat unknown roster to many people, I'm ready for football season. I cannot wait until that border war. That is going to be juicy. I know Wyoming is going to be wanting more than ever to win that game. I think that's going to be the approach for the Mountain West all year, is to try to prove, hey, Pac-12 guys, you shouldn't have left us here. I think it's just going to add more to that game than ever before. But all that being said, the excitement around Jim Mora, like that's the story here. And I can't wait to see what he has in store for us year one.
Yeah, totally. It's such an unknown. I mean, we talk pretty much every year for the last 3 or 4 years about how every team's a bit of an unknown because of how many changes there are. And then you throw in new staff, you know, about 70 new players, and the fact that Mora is such a big, you know, kind of established name obviously creates excitement, but also no guarantee of immediate success. I think we all know the task facing him, and as we always say when there's a coaching change, which unfortunately we've had to kind of talk through a lot of these, there's a reason there's a new coach here. It's not because of how great things were, so it's a big task ahead.
It just feels like, you know, all this stuff in the past however many years now, since the first game at Canvas Stadium, you know, this buildup, maybe finally you see this football program reach that potential that so many of the fans believe that they could. I think outside of fans, you know, people that aren't necessarily fans of this program looked at that and said, man, they got the resources, they got the stadium. Why aren't they on a yearly basis putting together that positive product where, hey, if you are losing a coach, it's because he's going up. You know, he's moving upward, north to a better job. Instead, we're firing coaches, you know, and that's been the situation here. This kind of feels like maybe that story, not ending, of course, but that storybook scenario where, hey, you got into the Pac-12 conference. I know it was a weird way to do it, and it's certainly not the way a lot of people envisioned it 5 years ago. You got this coach that is a storied coach, very popular. He's done some great things. This maybe could be, finally, that not this year maybe, but the stretch where CSU reaches that potential that we all thought they could get when they built that stadium out there.
Yeah, I mean, the time is definitely now. There's a lot of pressure on folks to do that. I would guess that, you know, CSU administrators are probably sick of hearing national folk kind of mention CSU as, you know, the sleeping giant that has all the things to do well but just hasn't. You know, because in some ways that's a compliment, but at this point, I'm guessing everyone's sick of hearing it because it's still the, well, they haven't done it yet. Can they do it now? And it needs to be now, basically. I mean, there's another round of realignment almost certainly coming in the next few years. You need to make sure to be being successful. And frankly, there's just a lot of resources being poured in for this to succeed. And you need those to pay off. You can't just forever pour money into a losing product. So there's definitely a lot of, I guess, just energy, but energy with pressure behind it for this all to work. I think, you know, CSU is looking at this as almost a relaunch of the brand, if you will. You know, not literally. It's obviously there's not a rebrand, but generally the idea of let's kind of change how people view Colorado State athletics, and what better time than as you move into a new league.
Kevin, if none of the Pac-12 stuff had happened and they dissolved, whatever, and CSU's trajectory was still the exact same. You know, they end up having the year that they had last year. Jay Norvell maybe is fired, same scenario. But there's no Pac-12. Is Jim Mora the coach of the Colorado State Rams?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think you could probably argue both ways. But I certainly think that, you know, some of these moves, including the Pac, certainly help, you know, entice him to the possibilities of, you know, where CSU can go. Because we've talked about at UConn, he didn't have a path to the playoff because, you know, you would basically have to go undefeated and beat some big names to even have a chance since they were an independent. Whereas the Pac, you know, like we've talked about before, the winner of the Pac should be in the mix, better be in the mix to be in the playoff. So I think that certainly is part of the formula that helped land Jim Mora here at Colorado State.
Outside of your reporting, Kevin, a lot of what I've seen, you know, on the national front or even reporters just covering the Pac-12, there's not a ton of in-depth coverage. It's more or less CSU could be okay. They might not be. The unknown is the fact that, or the, I guess the optimistic unknown is that Jim Mora's there. And even though it's an unknown roster, it's a lot of UConn guys, Jim Mora, I think, is giving a lot of these national writers that hope of, hey, listen, completely different roster. Normally that would spell disaster, but there's a pretty big belief in Jim Mora being the head coach, even in year one.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, I agree. That's what a lot of the national analysis has been, which, you know, those are always pretty surface level outside, you know, the top kind of 10 to 20 teams. And yeah, that's kind of the thing of, well, you know, there's a lot to do and a lot to fix, but Jim Mora's done it before, so we're not really going to bet against him doing it again. And that's what you get with a name, you know, a coach of this cachet.
Kevin, I loved your story here. It's self-serving for me, but your story in the Colorado one that you put out yesterday, 10 intriguing CSU football players to watch in 2026. So if there were to happen to be a local radio host that's looking to get a CSU football player back on for a sponsored radio show again, it might be a good idea for that local radio host to pick one of these guys on this list. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I like you. I like where you're thinking. Mm-hmm. It's one of those I sort of built my own parameters on this story. Of course, you know, that's kind of a dealer's choice, I guess. You know, I didn't touch on quarterbacks because, like I said, we're going to talk plenty about the quarterbacks. We don't need to include them in every single little thing. But these were kind of some of them. You know, probably will be some of CSU's best players. But it's kind of a mix of guys. I'm just really intrigued by their role and how CSU can use them. So not necessarily the best player, but guys who almost X factors, you know, for kind of a cliche word or phrase. Guys that I looked at here, and yeah, it was a mix. I mean, from, like I say, kind of an obvious player of, you know, Umar Diamande, who they need to be really good on defense, to, you know, maybe someone a lot of people don't know, in Terrence Smith Jr., a receiver who I'm not even sure how much he'll see the field, but his kind of profile and background makes me wonder if he could be a really fun gadget player. So yeah, it's a mix of guys up and down the roster. That was kind of fun to, you know, it helps to refresh my brain for football season too.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing. I'm just diving through your stuff here because, again, even your list, your Madden list, I love how you found that, mm-hmm. and I have a follow-up question for that. But the ratings for these players, and that can kind of tell you a little bit. Because the guys, not the Madden ratings, the NCAA college football game ratings, I suppose, it's changed in years past, Kevin. I think 20 years ago it was like, oh, whatever, it's just kind of a crapshoot of ratings. It does seem like these game developers have, like, really knowledgeable football people that help them put this together. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how they do it now. I think definitely there's more, and there's just more data out there. I mean, you look at things like PFF and all the analytics they bring that are, you know, available to everyone, or at, you know, at least for a price. There's just a lot more knowledge for everyone available now that can also lead to, you know, you can kind of use numbers however you want them. But yeah, you know, I certainly don't take those ratings as gospel, but I take a look, and, you know, generally I think they kind of line up with the eye test, field test as well.
Kevin Lytle joining us. On the ratings that you listed out for us of each, you know, the top 10 ratings, is there anything that you would just, is there anybody you would say, I'm going to take a shot in the dark here because we don't know a ton about them, but you would throw that 90 rating on one of these guys?
I don't know. I mean, they're pretty judicious on giving out the 90 ratings. There's not a single player in the Pac-12 that has a 90 rating. The top is, I think, two different guys have 89s, a receiver at Texas State and someone at Boise, maybe one of the Boise running backs. I can't remember off the top of my head. But they're pretty judicious on the 90s. Even Owen Long, who obviously I think we all know and feel is a superstar, I believe they have him as either an 88 or an 89 down at Arizona State. So they're pretty judicious on giving out 90s. So kind of given how few of those there are, I think it's probably fair that there aren't any CSU players there. But, you know, the whole idea is to change that, especially for some of these guys who haven't seen the field a ton. You know, you look at the quarterback ratings, both Haney and Farrar were kind of low to mid-70s, I think. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, I think they're better than that, but they also barely played in college, so it makes sense that their rating is not great yet. And you would, if you're a CSU fan, you hope and expect that by the end of the year, that will be a lot different.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. Hopefully by the end of the year, we're talking about at the very least one guy that could get into that 90 category. Kevin, great stuff from you. I'm going to check out your basketball stuff too, but I've been diving in to all things football. Find Kevin's stuff. Follow him on X, and he's putting out his stories there too, @Kevin_Lytle. And of course, just subscribe to the Coloradoan, and you're going to get all the CSU information from the guy that's literally at everything as much as possible for a human being to be at when it comes to CSU. That's you, Kevin. Appreciate the work you do, and looking forward to following along with you this year, my friend.
Absolutely. We're getting really, really close.
I love it. All right, man. And Rams Weekly's right around the corner, too.
Really close as well.
Get those details together. I think both those hosts on that show definitely cracked the 90s. Definitely.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
If there were a video game about radio hosts, that we would have cracked the 90s. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Michael Kirkpatrick, you'd put us in the 90s. I know that. 11:50 the time. It is fascinating. Like, this list he kind of put together was more or less just guys he's interested in. And there's a lot of these dudes that just have question marks around them. And as we get closer and closer to the season, we're going to learn a lot more about Jim Mora's first Colorado State football squad. It's the whole show. Keep it here. We'll be right back.
Should be a busy offseason for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. What needs to change? Follow along with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.